Aaron Wilson from the Carroll County Times reporting that tomorrow is the day that Ray Rice will be franchised. The deadline is March 5th. Pro Football Talk and Mike Florio saying that tomorrow could be a big franchise tag day. Let's bring in Mike Florio now from Pro Football Talk and NBC, joining us in the Alpaca Ford Hotline. All right, Mike, let's get into that. Ray Rice, one of these guys. So what's going to happen tomorrow with all these franchise tag players like Rice, like Breeze? I know the deadline is until the 5th, though.
Well, yeah, the deadline's Monday, but it's amazing, and I haven't tracked this in past years, but we've had guys franchised by now in the past when that two-week window opens. People don't wait until the last minute. And one of the reasons I heard last week on the first day of the franchise tag cycle was that teams were going to delay it as long as possible because there's concerns that the players don't yet fully understand and appreciate that the numbers are going down this year in comparison to last year. There's a belief that the agents didn't tell the players just in order to delay that awkward conversation as long as possible. So the teams don't want to make the players upset. The teams are concerned the players will be upset. So hold it as long as possible until you know that you can't work out a long-term deal. And from the Ravens' standpoint, they already know they can't work out a long-term deal. From a PR standpoint, the best time to do it is late Friday afternoon, and then you minimize the impact on the news cycle over the weekend. By the time you get to Monday, everybody's moved on to something else.
Mike Florio, our guest on the Alpaca Ford Hotline. Hey, Mike, you're talking about the cap and the franchise tag and stuff. People like Peyton Manning, Drew Brees are in the mix now. How does this work? Could you just explain briefly to people exactly what date we have to, you know, teams have to be at their cap number?
Teams have to be at the 2012 cap number by 4 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesday, March 13. And that's also when free agency opened. It used to be free agency opened on a midnight. Now it opens at 4 p.m. on the first day of the league year, and that's when everybody has to be in compliance with the cap. And if you're, you know, you have to be. There's no, you know, people say, what happens if you're not? You have to be. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Whether you may be or you might be, you just have to be, and everybody always is. And you can be in compliance with your top 51 players, and that's how it works in the offseason. You got 80 guys under contract, but your top 51 have to be under the salary cap when you take all their cap numbers and combine them. But just if you get to zero, like the Raiders, they got to get to zero by March 13. They're like $25 million over the projected cap number. Fine, you get to zero on your 51 guys under contract. You can't go out and sign anybody else. It doesn't take into account the Michael Bushes who aren't under contract or anybody else who isn't under contract, anybody you'd want to sign. So you get there, but that doesn't mean you can do business. So there's a lot of moving parts to this, and it's going to get pretty crazy here in about 12 days.
You had something on your website that I was reading yesterday. What is the cap number this year? And then explain the impact of the cap excess from last year that could be carried over and how that impacts things.
Well, this is a new facet to the collective bargaining agreement. The teams can automatically carry over any remaining cap space they have from 2011 without having to do any bogus contracts that allow teams to push money over. And that used to be the way to do it if you wanted to do it. Now, to do it, all you have to say is we want to do it, and the deadline for that was Tuesday. And I hadn't heard of any team specifically not doing it. There's no reason not to do it because you don't have to spend it, but you have it available if you need it. And for some teams, there's a lot of money that gets carried over. For other teams, there's not much. But you throw that on top of whatever the cap number ends up being unadjusted for 2012. People think it's going to be about $120 million. I'm hearing that it's going to be flat from last year. It's not going to go up. It's not going to go down. But nobody knows the number yet. Isn't that amazing? We're 4 days away from when you have to apply the franchise tag. We're 12 days away from when you have to be in compliance with the cap number. And nobody knows what the cap number is yet. At least none of the teams know. The league office may know. The NFLPA may know. But the teams don't know yet.
So to put that in perspective, on your website, the Jaguars have $31.66 million. So conceivably, they won't, but they could with a new owner. They could spend $151-plus million next year. The Ravens have $6.18 million, so they could spend $126 million. I know there's other little things, but is that basically the way it is? If they wanted to, they could do that?
That's how it works, and you don't have to spend it. You can carry it over into next year. Now, next year, that's when the team-by-team minimum spending requirement kicks in of 89% of the unadjusted cap. Because some people said, well, I know why teams don't want to carry cap money over, because then they have to. That's more they have to spend. No, you have to spend a certain amount of the unadjusted number every year, starting next year. This year, people think that there's some minimum spending requirement team by team. There isn't. There's a league-wide spending requirement, but there's not a team by team requirement. So a team like the Bengals right now, who have $83 million in cap commitments for 2012, that's a ridiculously low number. It's 66% of what they think the total number is going to be. They don't have to spend another dime. They can pocket all that money. It's pure profit, and then next year is when they have to spend.
Huh. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, and NBC Sports joins us. Mike, what about the Rams? What are they going to do now? And is Robert Griffin III, you know, has he quieted everybody now that we know he's not 5'11", he's 6'2 plus, and you know, runs like the wind? Is he going to be the number two pick, and who's in the running for him?
Yeah, look, the Rams have a heck of an opportunity here, but it's the kind of opportunity that's going to make people lose sleep at night in St. Louis trying to figure out when to play this card. Do you hold an auction right now for Robert Griffin III to get him via the second overall pick in the draft when you have maximum people who will be attending the auction with those little paddles ready to bid this thing up to the highest possible amount of compensation for the Rams? Or do you wait until you get closer to the draft when teams that don't get Peyton Manning, whatever quarterback Peyton Manning may displace who currently thinks he has a starting job, Matt Flynn, any other quarterbacks available? You're going to have fewer teams at the auction if you do it in late March or into April. But will the teams who are there be more desperate to go out and do whatever they have to do to get a quarterback? So the Rams have to make that decision. And I'll tell you what, if I'm the Rams, I want to do that deal with the Browns, because the Browns are the only team that can give me two first-round picks right now. I don't care about a first-round pick next year. I don't know where that pick's going to be. It could be number 32. It could be number 2. I don't know what it's going to be. But I know I've got 4, and I've got 22, and I've got those picks, and I can use them this year if I'm the Rams, and whatever else they can get out of the Cleveland Browns on top of that. I think that's why we're seeing reports that the Browns are indifferent or not interested. The Browns are trying to avoid being held up by the Rams, because I think people look at this and say, yeah, the Browns make the most sense for the Rams. I'll tell you who makes the most sense in the top 10 that I would love to see go after Griffin is the Jacksonville Jaguars, because you've got the Colts not even batting an eye at Robert Griffin III. And back in 1998, Peyton Manning said to the Colts, look, if you don't take me, I'm going to do everything I can to kick your butts for the next 15 years. Well, Robert Griffin III's got to be getting a chip on his shoulder over the Colts not even paying any attention to him. So put him in the same division. And new owner Shad Khan wants to sell tickets. What better way to sell tickets than to have Robert Griffin III if he ends up being as good as advertised?
Yep. It's funny you say that, because we've heard nothing about Jacksonville, and I'm thinking you're really that sold on Blaine Gabbert that you're going to potentially pass on, and with all the cap room they have and everything. We're talking with Mike Florio.
Did you see Blaine Gabbert last year?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's my point.
And if that's what the Jaguars are doing, that's the best way to play it. Make everybody think that you're sticking with Gabbert, nobody sees it coming, you swoop in and you do the deal, and the next thing you know, you've got the two top quarterbacks playing in the same division, which would be great for football fans.
All right, Peyton Manning, in your mind, May 13th, let's just assume that nothing's going to happen with the Colts and he's going to be a free agent. So May 13th, is he signed by somebody May 13th? Rather March 13th or March 14th, is he signed by somebody right away? Is he getting what he's getting right now? And the other question is, are they signing him sight unseen? Are they not allowed to look at him, or can he come in, even though he can't work out for the Colts outside of their trainers, can he work out for other teams?
Well, let me tell you, it's a lot of baloney, this idea that the Colts can't see him throw. I believe that that's the Colts' way of justifying not paying him. Because when they cut him and the fans say, well, why would you cut the greatest quarterback of all time? And the Colts say, well, we can't give this guy $28 million without knowing what he can do. We weren't allowed to watch him throw. I think they could finesse the language of the CBA and do whatever they wanted to do. Bill Polian, the former GM or whatever his title was under the impression that they could do that if they wanted to. And I just think that the Colts regime now is looking for a graceful way out of this thing, and the easiest thing to say is, oh, well, we couldn't see him throw. We can't pay him. Somebody's going to pay him, because there's going to be a ton of teams that come after him, and I don't know that he'll be under contract by the time the free agent market opens. That's 5 days. That's a lot that's got to happen in 5 days. But I think the foundation's already being laid for this to happen. People have to realize these conversations are occurring. The agent knows what teams are willing to pay. It's just a matter of the money being paid at this point.
So he will teams be able free agents teams interested in him as a free agent rather be able to look at him and bring him in and have him throw?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Once he's a free agent, you can bring him in and work him out. That's happening now from time to time. Guys are getting tryouts and workouts. It's just, if you're already under contract with a team, there's new rules in place about when that guy can and can't work out, what he can do, what you can watch him do. And the CBA is not nearly as specific as the Colts are interpreting it. I don't see anything in there that says, thou shalt not observe a quarterback throw the football in the off season. I don't see anything in there that says that. And I think if the Colts wanted to do it, they would do it, and the league would look the other way. But I just don't think the Colts want to do it.
I know it's not in the CBA. It is in the Bible, though.
Watch quarterback throw in the offseason?
It is.
I think that's Leviticus.
It's buried. I'm just saying.
I think it's Leviticus.
All right, Mike. Thank you. Appreciate it very much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, later.
Thanks.
Mike Florio joining us here on the Norris and Davis Show.